Hey, everybody. Everybody being one person as of right now, checking in with me. JD here, 701 Nation, episode number 10. And tonight we're going over, we're going to give you the quick rundown here. We got, I got a poll out. We're going to go over the results of that and talk about that a little bit. And then the best bullet weight for a 1-8 twist 223 barrel. And then, of course, number three, we're going to hit pest and predator management. Why is it important for, is it important for upland game bird population? And we got the celebrity hero of the week. I'm going 2 weeks in a row, celebrity hero of the week. Spoiler alert here, it's another Kansas City Chief. And I'm not a big Chiefs fan, but, I mean, after some of the stuff I heard today, my respect for the NFL dropped even more than it has been. And, of course, I'm going to have the happy ending story. So, real quick thing I'll tell you guys right now, got something from one of our sponsors, Jake at Bloodline Kinetics. I'm going to be doing a giveaway, not tonight, but I'm going to in the future here, and Clay and the boys are going to be doing one on Guns in the 701. One free barrel threading job, which includes a thread protector and a thread adapter for a specific caliber and barrel diameter. No refund or cash offers are going to be on that, but that's $100 to $150 value depending on what you got going there. So appreciate Jake doing that. I was down at Jake's shop today checking out the 701 rifle he's building for Clay, and I was mostly checking mine out, but yeah, it's looking pretty sweet. He's doing some cool stuff with his laser on there. So I think he's Cerakoting. He's Cerakoting it tomorrow, and maybe both of them actually. So we'll see. We'll see what that baby looks like. I'm getting excited to get that from him, and it should be pretty sweet. So, okay. Hey, Brian Warner, good evening, Jamie, and all my fellow MVs. Even, hey, Waylon Turnus, good evening, buddy. Good to see you back on. So far, we got a small crowd going here, but the show, boys, must go on. So let me wet my whistle here. We're going to get into this poll question. The poll question, I just updated it before I came on here. So my question was, how confident are you making an offhand kill shot at deer inside of 200 yards? Now, a kill shot, I don't know about you guys, but to me, a kill shot is 10-inch circles is, you know, I think that's a kill zone on a deer. Or, you know, antelope, whatever. Any big, I mean, I've never hunted elk, but I mean, I'd certainly be trying to keep it inside of 10 yards. I was kind of surprised at some of these answers here, actually. I just went with the percentages, right? I had 100%. This is how confident your confidence in your shot, making a shot. 100%, 75%, 50%, 25%, or zero. You have 0% chance that you think you're going to make an offhand. And I was texting with a buddy of mine today, fellow Second Amendment gun guy shooter. And you know, what are we talking about offhand here? And I said, do you consider kneeling shot offhand? And he said, if you're going to count kneeling, I'm changing my answer because I'm way. So I said, all right, from henceforth, offhand shot will be standing. A standing shot is off. Which I was kind of leaning towards maybe including kneeling, but I mean, I felt kind of uncomfortable at that. So I'm glad we had that text exchange. So an offhand shot's going to be standing, which I'm assuming most of these people thought too, because I asked some guys I work with and they thought, yeah, it's standing shot. Okay. So we'll start from the bottom. 0% of the responders here. Which is, by the way, this is the first time I've done a poll. I updated my whatever iOS thing on my phone. Well, it won't let me do Facebook polls anymore. So I got this poll app thing. Pollmaker.com is where it is. So if you guys like polls, let me know. Put it in the comments. I'll do them every 2 weeks. I'll do a poll. Maybe I like polls because I'm what's the phrase I'm looking for? Maybe I get my beliefs out there too much. I got a big mouth, and I like to have my say on anything. How's that? Anyway, 0%. Nobody voted 0%. All the people who responded on here, which was 27, which 0% of those people thought they couldn't make this shot. Moving up 25%, 7% of the respondents thought they were going to make that. Next one up, we go 50%, 26% of them thought they, and I'm going to put myself at 26, I'm going to put myself in the 50%. I didn't vote in here, but I'm going to put myself at 50%, and I'll tell you guys what I'm going to do. I'll do the test. I'll promise you I'm within the next month or so, but I'm going to do it with my AR, and I'm going to go to 200 standing offhand. I'm going to shoot four shots. So right, I've said I'm going to hit 50%, so I'm going to hit it twice, right? I'm going to hit this 10-inch gong twice. I'll do it with a scope, and I'll pop the scope off. And then I'll do it with my iron sights. I'm not, I don't know about iron sights. I mean, I don't even 200 yards, 10 inch circle looks mighty small, but I tell you what, I'm going to give it a go. So we move up to the next one, 75%, 75% of the responders thought, yeah, I'm confident I can hit 75% confident. I'm going to hit this thing in the kill zone. That was a 26% tied with 50. Now 100%. This one kind of surprised me because I know one guy who did 100%, but I mean, and I want to see it. I mean, I'm not doubting you. I'm just saying 41% by far the biggest number who responded. 41%, they're 100% confident at 200 yards that they can make an offhand shot at the kill zone, which I said is a 10-inch circle on a deer out at 200 yards and in. So, I mean, at 100 yards, I would have put 100%. And, you know, this is just factoring in shooting a target, not if you got a big buck out there. But and when I'm in the field, I'll tell you right now, the longest shot that I've made, I just standing offhand was on an antelope. I had an antelope tag down on Standing Rock. And, boy, I can't remember. It had to be about 10 years ago, but it was like 220. And it hit higher than I thought, but I did hit it and kill it. It was wounded. I hit it in the leg first at like 500 and something when it was standing there. But yeah, I did finish it off with that one. It hit, I've killed it. But I mean, I was thinking about that. I think that is the farthest I've actually got one. Elbow cough. Mike D, because he gave me the elbow cough. Bullshit. But man, and I know I've hit a number of coyotes. I mean, even running within 100 yards, and I've missed plenty of them too. Don't get me wrong there, but 200. It was like 210 or 220. I hit it offhand stand. It was kind of over a hill. Otherwise, I would have knelt down. The majority of the time, if I have to not prone out and shoot with my bipod in the field, I will kneel down because I feel super comfortable shooting like that. In fact, I did that video. I don't know what it was, 3 weeks ago. I did it on that 250 yards on a 10-inch gong, and I hit it. Yeah, it wasn't edited. It was real. I hit it on one shot. You know, I'm not saying I can do it every time, but, hey, it was a great video because it worked for me. But, yeah, let me get some comments here, guys. So I'm going to back up here a little bit. Dave Fettig says, in general rifle comp, the stages are standing, offhand, sitting, kneeling, and prone. Okay. So like how far is the farthest standing one that you shoot at, Dave? I'm curious. And what size target are you guys aiming at? Cause I know some of my buddies in the military it's shooting at like a man sized silhouette, and you know, we got one at 4.4. I can go out to 600 to it out at our place, but, it's usually at 400. I'm fairly confident I can hit that off. You know, maybe there's another test I can do. Hit that off just standing offhand. But, you know, that's – and I think the reason I brought it up because we were out at Axis shooting, and we did a test with M1 carbine, I think, you know, the 30 carbine. And right away at 100, we went back to 100, and I just standing there offhand, I hit it. I can't remember once or twice, and then I missed like three in a row. Then Doug went, and he got it with a couple, two or three. I think he got it twice. And then, I tried again, and I missed. And then we did a video one, and I hit it like three times in a row. And I'm like, you know, is it really ethical? Because most people, I guarantee you, most people, if a buck rolls out and they got a buck tag, and these guys who don't hardly ever shoot, they're going to pull up and start winging at it. And you might be able to hit it, but I'm almost going to assure you, you're going to hit it in the ass or the gut and you're going to lose that deer. So I'm almost like, should you even take a shot like that? Really? I mean, yeah, it's up to you to do it, but man, if it's too far out there, I'm not a coyote, I will, but on a deer, nah. I mean, me personally, I will not do that. You know, like I said, the deer season, when I hit that one deer this year twice, right in the shoulder, but the bullet didn't work with the damn. So, and that was, you know, 100 and whatever it was right away, 160. And the second one was 180 or something. I don't know. I remember I went back and ranged it, but, yeah, I mean, I don't think most people are going to actually kill it that far off. I don't think they're even going to hit it in the kill zone, really. The first deer I ever killed was a muley buck, Dunn County, 222 Remington. That was offhand iron sight. Yeah, I was, whatever, 14 or whatever the heck I was, 15. But I mean, my eyes were perfect. And I hit him in the neck. I think I hit him in the neck twice. Because I think it had a 5-round mag. I don't know what's over in my closet, but I hit him in the neck twice, in the ass once, and in the gut. That's what it was, I think. But yeah, that was, and I was a kid, and I definitely have shot more and all. But like I said, now my eyes are worse and I'm more shaky. So I don't know. Okay, Dave says, I seen he put it on here for me. 200-yard offhand, 10 ring is less than 10 inches. Okay, there you go. See, I'm Mike Deakins in Hills. I'm 90% 50 to 150 yards. West River is my 243. I'm confident at 200. He's saying 75 yards. But past that, I'm hesitant unless the deer is broadside on a dead stop. Yeah, and that's another thing. I'm talking about it standing still for sure. If the deer, there's so many stories I hear from people about hitting running deer. I remember took one of my buddies prairie dog shooting once. He had a 243 AR. It was brand new. Took it to the range, shot like a 3/4 inch group. So we went down. He always told me, oh man, I constantly shoot deer on the run at, 500-600 yards. I said, there's no freaking way you do that, man. Oh yeah. And it ended up being, I got it on video actually somewhere too, which is, makes it even more sweet. A prairie dog was below him about 70 yards. And he takes a few shots and misses. And I said, here, lean over that bag. You're not going to hit it. Oh yeah, I will. Just dumps a 10-round magazine he had and just dumped all of them, emptied it out. And I just leaned over and said, right in his ear, I'm calling bullshit on your 500-600 yard running deer shots. And he just grinned. Cause if you can't hit a prairie dog sitting still there at 75 yards, when you're sitting down, you're never going to convince me you're hitting a running deer at 500 plus yards. So, I'm talking even just sit this, what I'm talking about here is standing still. I'm not even talking about a moving shot. You know, at 200, you know, I would probably shoot at a deer. Not if it's just like full bore running, you know, if it's kind of, they kind of get that half trot when they get a little nervous, but, and when a muley gets going too, and they're bouncing more, I think that'd even be harder to hit than a whitetail. Well, of course, whitetail's kind of bound, but I don't know, unless I hate to say it, but man, if it was a huge buck, I mean, your instincts might just take over and you shoot, and God, I mean, you make a bad shot, that would suck too. So, you know, I don't know what you guys think about that. We got a few, Danelle Peterson says 270 brings all the confidence you need. I feel very comfortable on a deer at 150 standing off hand. Okay. That's Clay Peterson. I will say one thing, Clay. I don't doubt you there, but I was going to do a thing called the ugliest cartridge, common cartridge in America, and the 270 was at the top of my list. But I'm sorry, man. That 270 is just not a very attractive cartridge to the eye. But it is. Don't confuse unattractive to ineffective, because the 270 is about the most effective deer hunting round I've seen in action. So, but yeah, okay, Clay's 150. That's awesome, man. See that? I mean, a lot of people in the upper Midwest grew up shooting, the offhand stuff like that. My dad even, I mean, man, over the years seeing him shoot coyotes like that, it blows my mind, because, and he had, you know, it wasn't an AR, it wasn't semi-auto. It was a Ruger 22-250. Shooting, man, I think his 50 grain soft points is what he liked to shoot the best, and God, it seemed like he hardly ever missed, and the ones that he did were so far out there. But Clay says the ugly ones need loving too. Yeah, they do, Clayton. They definitely do. So, okay, guys, I tell you what, I told you guys a few weeks ago, I'm going to try and keep my shows right about an hour. And I know you're saying, well, hey, when you had Congressman Armstrong on, you went 2 hours. Yeah, but when he was on, he went like an hour and three, and then Clay and Todd and I went. So I'm actually going to hit our first break here. And when we come back, we're going to, I mean, unless you guys got something else you want to talk about this, we're going to go with the best bullet weight for the 1-8 twist and the 223. Oh yeah. And you, some of you know what I think about that 1-8 twist and the 223. So we're going to be right back. Here's our double ad right here. We'll be back in a few minutes, guys.
Commissioner. Yeah. I'm from the Athlete's Foot Foundation.
Brother. Hey, can you get my demo tape to somebody?
Lauer Auto Repair, located at 309 South Washington Street in Bismarck, North Dakota.
Give them a call at 701-258-6308.
The team of mechanics at Lauer Auto can take care of any problem your vehicle is having. And when you do business with Lauer, you can be assured you're doing business with a pro Second Amendment America First repair shop. There are plenty of other auto repair shops in the Bismarck-Mandan area. But why take a chance at patronizing a shop that might not have your beliefs at heart? Make no mistake. Lauer Auto is your pro Second Amendment repair shop. When you talk to the guys at Lauer Auto, don't forget to tell them that you heard they are a sponsor of Guns and the 701 and that you appreciate their support of our pro Second Amendment, pro North Dakota live stream and podcast. That's Lauer Auto Repair, 701-258-6308.
701-258-6308.
Located 309 South Washington Street in Bismarck, North Dakota.
Experience the exhilaration of power in your hands at Bloodline Kinetics. Why Cerakote? Simply, it aids in firearm preservation while also giving your piece a unique look. Barrel threading, NFA laser engraving, bolt handle threading, mount, level, and bore, sight scope chamber rebarreling, and much more. Bloodline Kinetics is meant to reflect a long American lineage in gun ownership who stand for the Second Amendment rights, Bloodline, and the science behind gun accuracy, Kinetics. To some, it's just a concept. Constitutional right that can go away. To us, it's in our American bloodline, and we believe it should stay that way. Here at Bloodline Kinetics, we understand that hunters, sportsmen, women, and gun owners should have a quality firearm. Stop and see us at 2008 Morrison Avenue 2 in Bismarck, North Dakota, 58504, Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Call 701-390-7997. Visit our website, bloodlinekinetics.com.
Yeah, I used Guns in the 701's commercial, which is fine, man. I'm Guns in the 701 too, so but I'll make sure the lasso there to hit the 701 Nation thing there. So all right, looks like everybody's all done talking about the offhand thing. Just real quick, a friend of mine sent me a cool text here. It says very good info on keeping deer on your plot. I'm gonna actually look it up here by Minnesota Hunting Club. How to keep deer in your plot. So that might actually be a story in 2 weeks coming up here for 701 Nation, because love talking about deer. I don't get sick of it. So let's talk about some rifle twist rates here. And the most common twist rate in AR-15 rifles currently manufactured and chambered in 5.56 or 223 is, drumroll please, 1-8 twist, which I refer to as God's twist. And that means the bullet makes one complete rotation in 8 inches. You know, so if you got a 16 inch barrel, you're getting two. You know, a lot of people, well, what the hell is that supposed to, who cares? Well, if you got to get the right bullet weight for your twist, if you want to usually get optimum accuracy out of that, you know, to spin it, right, the velocity. If you get too slow, you know, then it starts wobbling and yawing and doing its thing, and not velocity too, which I don't understand that. Maybe Dave knows why that in the comments, but I don't know why spin increases your velocity that much, but hey, maybe so. And I think I have two ARs and one bolt action 223, which is the Ruger Ranch, and that is a 1-8. and I got a 1-7. Man, I had the 1-9s too, which you're going to talk about. But, and you know, just in preparing the right bullet, you know, to the barrel twist rate doesn't always guarantee you accuracy. But I think a lot of times when these guys have these guns and they're like, oh, this thing shoots like shit, none of them even. And I'm not blaming them for it because maybe they're just not gun nerds like me, but they don't even know what the barrel twist is on their gun or what it, some of them don't even know what the hell barrel twist is. But, yeah, like I said, it's designed to stabilize it. And if it's too slow, it doesn't stabilize it. And the velocity sucks. Or if it's too high, the most thing I hear about, like a higher twist rate is a bullet coming apart. That's never happened to me. Somebody like Dave who shoots a shitload would probably do that. I know about that. I would not, you know, and the 1-8, you know, the reason that everybody, you know, that it's that popular is because it'll stabilize a wide range of bullets from, you know, 40 to 77 grain. I think I shot 77 grains once. I'm getting up to where I'm liking to shoot like the 60, 62 grains. Better 55 and 62 is what I like to shoot out of that. So, you know, a lot of like longer range guys use the 77, and I think they even got 90 grains now, actually. Dave says here, I know if you twist a bullet 340,000 RPM, they sometimes won't make it to the target and they pop like firecrackers. Yeah. See, now that's what I'm saying. That's the thing I've heard about having a too fast of a twist rate. But the, you know, most of the time I hear it's you know, it's not spinning it fast enough. So, and, you know, an interesting thing about speaking of twist rate, since we're on it here, when M16 was developed, bullet weight was 45 to 52 grains, and it was paired with a 1-14 twist. The slow twist rate was perfect for these lightweight bullets, and as the Army changed design requirements, a 1-12 twist rate was used, which absolutely loves 55 grain bullets, especially when fired from a 20 inch barrel. The problem with the 1-12 twist is it can't stabilize heavier bullets. Okay, I've never shot a 223 with 1-12 twist, and I've shot, you know, most, like I told you what my twist rates are, and I've shot bug hole groups with 55 grainers, so I'm not so sure about that. But I mean, I'm not the expert there. From Guns America is actually where I got this article from. So, and it says here, see, I'm going to disagree with something he says here too. He says the 1-8 is the most versatile and most common, but you will find barrels with 1-7 and 1-9. Right. And I said, I have all three of those twists. Jake's making Clay's, rifle and mine, the 701 rifles. They're 1-8. Jake asked me what he wanted. So it says a 1-7 twist rate is best suited for heavier weight bullets. Okay. So like my 1-7 Stag, I mean, it'll shoot 55s. In a freaking quarter inch to half inch group, just like it will 62s or 69. It actually shoots it better than 60. It doesn't really like 60. Maybe it was just the powder, but it says the U.S. military uses 1-7 twist in the M16A2 rifles and a 62 grain bullet, and then M16A4 and M4, which can stabilize bullets up to 90 grains. If you run 55 grain bullets through a 1-7, you will see accuracy and performance deteriorate because the barrel overstabilizes bullets. Like I just said, I'm calling bullshit on that. And I've actually shot 50 grain Federal. You buy that box, like the bulk Predator rounds, I think. That was like the most accurate round I ever shot out of it. I should just buy them and shoot them instead of reloading, because, I mean, that was like a quarter inch group. I got it on a video somewhere on our website or on our social media outlets. So, but yeah, I mean, the 1-8, that is what I always want to do. The 1-8. I can tell you right now, I'm never going to shoot, like 90 grain super high BC bullets in long range competitions with 223. If I'm going to shoot that far, I'm going to get my 6.5 Grendel or something else, 6mm or something. But yeah, I'm 69. I've shot 69 grains too. That shot, 69 grains, like Sierra, oh man, Match Kings, man, those things shoot freaking awesome. They shot better than the Hornady's. I shot them both with the same load, and I tried a different powder on both of them too. And the Sierras seem to shoot a little better than the Hornady's do. The Hornady's are cheaper, I mean, but you know, when I've shot Hornaday bullets that are cheaper than Sierras, that shoot awesome too. But I'm just saying, and that 69 is as high as I'm going to go. And out of a carbine, I think I was getting, well, in the summer with ball powder, like 20, little over 2,700, in the winter, like 2,650. So, you know, it, I'm not going to use them for coyote hunting in the winter because they're a little slower, and you get one out there at range, it's going to poke a hole. And I'll stick with the ballistic tips or the soft points, man, the soft points, you can't go wrong. So Dave says the weight of the bullet is less of a factor, but the length is what the twist factor is needed for. Inherently, length does come some with hand in hand with the weight. Okay. Yeah. And Dave, I actually had a problem with the length, in my Grendel. I almost was going to get the throat, whittled out a little bit on there, but it was catching the lands on the ELD Hornaday. And then that was a 120, and I'd switched to the 120, Spear Gold Dot. Same OAL, did not hit the lens. So I don't know, the ogive, maybe that was longer and there's a bigger bearing surface or something on the gold. I don't know. I'm not a, you know, ballistician. I'd have to sit down and talk to you about that. But anyways, it's not in my, I barely lost any accuracy. And the BC, even on that gold dot, is still over 500. So I shot it at 400 yards, and the thing was, I mean, right on the freaking money. So not too concerned about that. All right. So if we don't got anything else to talk about that one, guys, I mean, I could babble on about that, but most people are probably bored with twist rates. So, we're going to go on here to pest and predator management. Is that important for upland game population? And I guess it's something I didn't think about much until a couple years ago. My buddy Wyatt brought it up about raccoons. And I think Marty, you know, Wyatt and Marty, your neighbors, Marty Beard. And I think Marty might've told him something. You got a lot of raccoons. They'll eat the nests out, which, you know, sure, they got in the chicken coop and that. But I just never thought about it. And I got this, ran across this story here in North American Outdoorsman. And they were talking about this very same thing and how people need to control the population, like raccoons and skunks, possums, which we don't have around here. And they'll get into, you know, coyotes and stuff like that here. It's not that long of an article, but I'm just going to kind of hit on it, see what you guys think about this. So he says, let's start with raccoons. They're an all-around nuisance for many reasons. Not only are they harmful to ground nesting birds, you know, turkeys, pheasants, geese, partridge, all that. They can also carry disease, which can, all right, rabies. I've never seen a rabid raccoon ever. I mean, I always hear about it. I'm sure Marty's come across them, or maybe some of you guys have. But they say raccoons will sniff out and raid a nest and eat all the eggs. And they claim they're also capable of causing many thousands of dollars in crop damage every year to farmers' crops. And in this guy's area, which was in Ohio, I know raccoons eat, they love freaking corn. So I don't, my mom put skunks on there in all capital. Yeah, we're getting to the skunks here, Mom, for sure. We're lucky. We don't have, I've never seen a skunk at our ranch up in Golden Valley. Ever. And then, you know, maybe my uncle has, or my dad. I think I asked my dad that, and I don't know that he said he ever did. Porcupines and raccoons, yes, for sure. And the raccoons, boy, there's a track around there now and then, but you know, my dad trapped a bunch, but we haven't had much of a problem with them. And the neighbor guy Tanner, he's always out night hunting coyotes, and you know, if you see them raccoons, feel free popping, because not only that, those suckers eat my mouse poison blocks, and well, they don't die from them. Raccoons don't, they don't, for whatever reason, they're tough suckers, but yeah. And of course, you know, several ways he says to help control the raccoon population: trapping, hunting, or, you know, you got a good guy around like Marty, who, you know, is passionate about raccoon hunting, call him up with his dogs. And I mean, you know, he's I mean, the guy's a pro at it. So, I mean, I don't know, that's probably the best way of doing it. If you don't mind having dogs running around your land or whatever, but yeah, do that. Yeah. So, and I did see, I'm kind of curious, when I go back out to the farm, Dad and I are planting some trees. There, a big freaking duck nest, man. I don't know. There must've been 15 eggs in here, and she was like 200 yards away from the creek. Is that where ducks don't, I always pictured ducks like on the bank of the creek or the river or the pond or whatever. And that's, this sucker was way, I mean, I was shocked it was there. And I know there's raccoons over there. And I kind of thought of that right away. Like, man, that's not a very good place to nest. But I'm going to find out when I'm up to this weekend if the nest is still. I got a nice picture of it too. It was a huge nest, big nest. But so my mom's saying skunks here. Yeah. Because they got a skunk out at their place. I think it's come in and eaten their cat food, which they kind of recommend here as one of the deals to, live trap. I think they're going to live trap. They're trying to live trap it. They got one of Marty's buddies out there. And, he's trying to live trap this skunk in my mind. I don't want to shoot it because they don't want it to spray. I mean, I think every skunk I ever shot sprayed. So I don't know if they always do or they don't or what, but, this article says, like raccoons, possums and skunks are professionals at sniffing out ground nests and eating the eggs. Around 50% of all ground nests will be eaten by possum, skunk, and raccoon. So, I mean, they're wiping out half the nests. And I looked on North Dakota Game and Fish's website, and I think it pretty much said the same thing about them on there. Obviously not possums. Is there possums in North Dakota? Not that I've ever seen. But, we have weasels up there too, and there's mink now and then, and I'm pretty sure they're egg eaters. And I think, magpies like to clean nests out, everything else too. Well, you can't shoot those. They're a migratory bird. Dave says, have a good night, Jamie. I'll catch you on replay. Off to prep for the mid-range state championship 600 yards. Have a good night. You bet. Thanks, Dave. Good luck out there shooting, buddy. Let us know how it turns out for you. Appreciate you tuning in for the time that you could and give me that info. So now we're going on. We go to Fox here, right? This guy's, one of his favorite animals to watch from the deer stand is, I love fox too. And I haven't shot a fox out at our place since my grandma, probably a couple years before she passed away, and she died in 2019. But, she had the chicken coop, so I would shoot them. I tell myself it was protect the chickens, and it partially was, but it was just like, I'm sorry, I enjoy shooting game. That's just the way it is. But I mean, I've seen many since then, and I pass them up, and I know why it's told me they're getting the pheasant nest too. But there's so few fox out at our place, and I think Tanner might have got a couple of them, so there are probably none there as of right now. Not that I've seen. So, but yeah, if they come across a ground that says they won't pass up an easy meal, they're hunted a lot like the next animal we're going to talk about here, the coyote, traps, all that kind of stuff. And they're not worth anything anymore either. So that's, coyotes aren't, obviously, but not only do coyotes wipe out, deer fawns, full-size deer, but just like the fox, they were saying here in the Midwest, they'll go in and clean out a freaking pheasant nest and whatever, I don't actively hunt coyotes because to me, sitting there and calling coyotes, not very exciting. I mean, I can do it now and then. I leave that up to people who thoroughly enjoy it. I mean, if I come across one, I'll shoot it. I mean, unless it's some pups like we talked about. We talked about last spring there. I think that was one of the questions I had. And I was definitely in a minority on it. Everybody was like, yeah, I'll shoot them. But whatever. If somebody wants to do it, do it. Do it. So, yeah, but the coyotes will clean the nests out too. Bobcats. I guess I never even thought about bobcats. And on occasion, there's bobcats in our area. They're a little farther to the northwest, up on the reservation there and some other land close to it. I know some guys up there call them, and I think my cousins actually got some with him and Kelly Almendinger, and I think they end up getting, I thought they said like 500 or 600. I don't know if that's what it is anymore, but they say they can be a big threat to ground nesting birds. I suppose, it's kind of like a cat, and I've heard that like feral cats are huge eaters of nests like that too. I don't know. Could very well be, I guess. But and if bobcats, they're just like a big cat. So if cats eat eggs, I'm quite certain the bobcat does the same damn thing to them. So, all right, we're gonna do our next break here, guys, and I'm gonna see if I can hit the right one this time. I'm gonna try the. It's not that one. Right here. Yep, this is yeah, this is all of them right here. This is a long one, 836. We're going to come back. We're going to hit on the celebrity hero of the week. Kansas City Chiefs, yet again. We had it last week. It was Patty Mahomes. This guy's even better. So hang tight. We'll be right back.
Ah! Ah! That's a war face. Now let me see your war face. Ah! You don't scare me.
Lauer Auto Repair, located at 309 South Washington Street in Bismarck, North Dakota.
Give them a call at 701-258-6308.
The team of mechanics at Lauer Auto can take care of any problem your vehicle is having. And when you do business with Lauer, you can be assured you're doing business with a pro Second Amendment America First repair shop. There are plenty of other auto repair shops in the Bismarck, Mandan area. But why take a chance at patronizing a shop that might not have your beliefs at heart? Make no mistake.
Make no mistake.
Lauer Auto is your pro Second Amendment repair shop. When you talk to the guys at Lauer Auto, don't forget to tell them that you heard they are a sponsor of Guns and the 701 and that you appreciate their support of our pro Second Amendment, pro North Dakota live stream and podcast. That's Lauer Auto Repair, 701-258-6308.
701-258-6308.
Located 309 South Washington Street in Bismarck, North Dakota.
Experience the exhilaration of power in your hands at Bloodline Kinetics. Why Cerakote? Simply, it aids in firearm preservation while also giving your piece a unique look. Barrel threading, NFA laser engraving, bolt handle threading, mount, level, and bore, sight scope chamber rebarreling, and much more. Bloodline Kinetics is meant to reflect a long American lineage in gun ownership who stand for the Second Amendment rights,
Bloodline,
and the science behind gun accuracy,
Kinetics.
To some, it's just a constant constitutional right that can go away. To us, it's in our American bloodline, and we believe it should stay that way. Here at Bloodline Kinetics, we understand that hunters, sportsmen, women, and gun owners should have a quality firearm. Stop and see us at 2008 Morrison Avenue 2 in Bismarck, North Dakota, 58504, Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Call 701-390-7997. Visit our website, bloodlinekinetics.com.
Ever tried catching a fish with your bare hands or hunting a deer with a stick? Don't be that guy. At Mandan Sporting Goods, we've got all the hunting and camping gear you need. We're your one-stop shop for outdoor adventure.
A well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed.
Check us out at mandansportinggoods.com or, better yet, stop in to 210 East Main Street, Mandan, North Dakota. Mandan Sporting Goods, where the outdoors meets functionality. Store hours, Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. Closed Sunday. Take up arms at Mandan Sporting Goods. Your adventure starts here.
Discover the world of firearms at Bismarck's Double H Gun Shop. With a wide range of products from handguns to rifles, we cater to all your shooting needs. We are your local gun experts. Not only do we sell firearms, reloading supplies, targets, and whatever your heart desires, but we also have a ton of knowledge and answers.
We shoot, we hunt, we compete, we reload.
It's been the Howard's way since 1976, and we ain't fixing to change anything. Visit our website at hhgunshop.com to browse our inventory. Double H Gun Shop, Bismarck's best new and used firearm reloading supply, gunsmithing, and sporting goods store. Double H Guns.
Double H Guns.
1021 South Washington Street, Bismarck, North Dakota. Call 701-223-4888.
There we go. Thanks for putting that commercial together, Mikey D and Clayton. So, yeah, hey, guys, again, if you do business with our sponsors, make sure and tell them you heard about Guns in the 701 or 701 Nation. You appreciate them sponsoring our show. I mentioned that again. I mentioned at the beginning of the show, I see we got a lot more people on now. Got one for Guns in the 701 and one for 701 Nation. I don't know if Clay and the boys are going to do it next week. I'm not going to do it till the next show in 2 weeks, but we got it's going to be a giveaway of some sort. I don't know how they're going to do it or I'm going to do it just yet, but we got a one free barrel threading job that includes a thread protector and one thread adapter for your specific caliber and barrel diameter, which is going to be from Bloodline Kinetics from Jake down there, $100 to $150 value, guys. So next Wednesday, Clay and the boys are probably doing however they're doing their giveaway, and a week after that, I'll be doing it. And Clay and I were talking today, but we got an idea. I'm going to talk to Clay tomorrow or Saturday about it when he's up, but we're going to be doing some more giveaways. We got another idea, not exactly an original idea of our own, but I think you guys are going to like what we're going to do. And I talked to Jake about it. He's going to do some lasering for us on something. So that's going to be good. And I'm pretty sure maybe within the next month even, when you guys are driving west to Mandan, you may see some big guns in the 701 signs out there doing a little advertising on by the rock range, but you'll be able to see it. I mean, if you go out there now, there's some big Becker signs out there, which gave me the idea, and talked to Axe about it, and I think we got the go ahead. So I'm gonna talk to somebody about making them signs tomorrow for us, and we'll get them up, hopefully get some good advertising for us, get some more people on the show, and should be great, man. I'm looking forward to it. And of course, if you're looking, hey, if you guys don't know what you want to get, it's graduation time. Double H Guns, Mandan Sporting Goods. You guys go in there, you get a gift certificate. You know somebody who has a gun, likes to hunt, they're in the outdoors, they're reloading, and you don't know what to get them, guys or gals, would it go in there and get them a gift certificate. They got a gift certificate at both places, and I'm not sure if Lauer has them. Jake might. Hey, go into Jake's. If you got somebody who bought a new gun and it ain't threaded, you know, Jake will give you a card here. Give him his money for what kind of gun it is, and Jake will give you the service card for a gift to bring it in. Or have some, you know, you got a gun or a knife or something, take it in there. Have Jake laser it up, man. The guy does awesome work. Wait till you see what he's lasering on our guns. It's pretty sweet. So anyway, going on here, celebrity hero. You know, I've been doing the zeros and I did the hero, and now I'm doing the hero again. And this time, like I said, Chiefs kicker Harrison Butker. And there's a couple things. Maybe some of you listened to Clay and Buck today. No, I had this in mind before today's Clay and Buck show, but I will add in what they were talking about. They asked Harrison Butker, just kind of like they did last week when I had 2 weeks ago, and I talked Pat Mahomes about the guns and in the parade there, the Chiefs parade with the shooting. And he's like, no, it's not, it's not guns. You know, he said, I basically grew up with guns. It's not the guns problem. You know, it's a societal problem. And he thought the big part of it was a bunch of these people committing crimes like this or grow up in fatherless homes, and which not every kid that grows up like that does. But I think that is, you know, if you don't have a authority figure in your life, be it your real dad or something, you need to, you know, stepdad or something in there, kind of keep you guided, unless the guy's a complete piece of shit. I mean, it's probably going to be a help in your life growing up as a young man. But on top of that, he spoke, he's a heavy, God, was it a Catholic, I think. So he spoke at this college about the importance of what his wife did, staying at home, having a child, and, you know, and how much better off her life was for it. And oh my God, the people, you know, the council mob went apeshit, you know, calling him all kinds of names. Well, I don't know what the hell they call it when they claim you don't like women, whatever the hell word it is. And then, of course, the NFL had to come in, and they denounced, we denounced everything Harrison Butker said. It's what, sexist, maybe that's what they, this and that, and we don't condone any of that. You know, you guys don't come out that freaking hard when one of your boys goes out and freaking unloads his gun into his girlfriend or beats the shit out of her. I mean, you hardly ever make a blip on your radar, but this guy comes out and says something that's a belief in his religion. And most people who know me know I'm not a very big religious guy. If people who are, it doesn't bother me one bit. I'm totally cool with it. But when, you know, they're coming out and hammering on him for saying that at a college, and you know, the NFL, they got guys beating up drunk drivers, getting into wrecks, car wrecks, killing other people, beating the shit out of hiring hitmen. I mean, come on, man. Really, this is a guy you're going to come out with your stupid DEI. I think they even got like a DEI part of the NFL that came out and had, oh, God, we don't condone this. This is so, you know, The NFL, I'm not saying they were on thin ice with me. I was mad at them when I quit watching for a while, and I'm back. And I mean, stuff like this, it just, the Cowboys draft sucked. They didn't really have any players I like anymore. And there's some players I do. I love Harrison Butker now, you know, and I'm glad Pat Mahomes came out and said, I'm not blaming the guns either. I like it when these guys come out with common sense like this, instead of just taking the, I don't want to get in trouble, I'm just going to go ahead and blame the gun, or, you know, I'm going to come out and say Harrison Butker shouldn't have said that. Hopefully nobody on his team, I mean, there might be a couple guys, but hopefully most of them don't throw him under the bus, you know, because, hey, I don't disagree with what the guy said. Like I said, that's, there's nothing wrong with a woman staying at home and raising your children. There's definitely nothing wrong with them getting a job either. My wife makes way more money than me, and I think that's great. I have zero problem with that. But if a family wants to do it that way, and of course, you know, Butker's one of the best kickers in the NFL, making millions. So, I mean, it's even easier for him to do it. I wish I made that kind of money and my wife could stay at home and just, and raise our two kids like that. I mean, raise their, you know, teenagers. Well, one's a teenager, but, you know, I think that's great. I think that's great. And there's nothing wrong with a society that does that. So Harrison Butker, my celebrity hero of the week, thank you for standing up for what you believe in. And I agree with a lot of what you say, and I really appreciate it that he didn't come out and start pissing and moaning about guns, okay? So now, to go on a little further, let's skip to the – I got some text here from the boys. Let me check this just in case. And that was from Clayton. I didn't notice we had something wrong on Rumble there, but neighbor's got his paint gun here. He got his Chevy pickup. He blasted it all red. Need a custom paint job. He's very reasonable with his paint gun. That's some good shooting on there. So, anyway, as I said last night when Mikey D and I were talking, I said, I'm just going to go ahead and do a happy ending. Every time I do it, you could do a happy ending story every day. A lot of people don't know that. I mean, a lot of you longtime listeners of the show and people who are in the know. People defend themselves with firearms like a minimum, like a low minimum of like a quarter million times a year. And that doesn't mean they pulled it out and shot somebody and killed them. That can be as much as pulling it out and stopping somebody, you know, two guys coming up and we're going to beat the shit out of you, beat you into your life. You pull out your gun. Well, bad move. Sorry. You know, stuff like that. And I know Clay, I think Clay's calling it the fairy tale of the week or something on Todd's show. I'm kidding. Somebody complained that he called it the happy ending, so which is fine. It's radio. This is a live stream, so I think I'm just going to go ahead and call it a fairy tale of the week in my own head. But we're going to go. I'm still calling it the happy ending. I stole that from Mark Walters on Armed American Radio because it's, and he probably got it from somebody else. I mean, it's been called a happy ending for, and no, I'm not talking about the happy ending some of you guys are thinking about, but anyway, we're going to take this happy ending of the week. Goes February 13th. This is from back in February. And like I said, this happens every day. I'm just picking this one out because I liked it. February 13th, around 5 p.m., an armed citizen in Las Cruces, New Mexico. Okay, I'm going to stop right here because I forgot what I was going to say. I'm not going to call this a happy ending of the week. I'm going to call this the armed citizen of the week because it's a happy and a sad ending. I know I've had a few of these, so I'm going to correct myself. So anyway, Las Cruces, New Mexico, saw a police officer approaching a homeless man trespassing on private property. The homeless man immediately attacked the officer with a large kitchen knife. Knife? Man. I thought just guns did all the killing, but oh, wow, that's amazing, right? Witnessing the unprovoked attack, the armed citizen drew and fired on the homeless man, killing him, then used the officer's radio to call for help. The officer was rushed to a nearby hospital. So when I think of a kitchen knife, you know, I think of them big, when I'm cutting up lettuce or something, that's how I was thinking of a kitchen knife. I don't know if that's what this was, but the officer was rushed to a nearby hospital, but here's where I said it wasn't happy. He did die of his wounds. The officer did die of the stab wounds. So, and sadly, leaving behind his wife and two young children. The assailant was reported to have a long history of mental illness, right? Because the leftists never want to lock up the mentally ill people anymore. And violent crime. Wow. Shocker, huh? Shocker. That's really shocking to me, including charges of kidnapping, aggravated battery with great bodily harm, and violating parole. I mean, violating parole. I mean, he did all this, and this piece of shit was out of jail, and he killed a cop with a family, with a wife and a kid. This kind of, you know, it is good that this armed citizen killed this piece of shit, because the guy would have got let out of jail by some leftist freaking judge or prosecutor anyway. So good on the armed citizen here. So no charges were filed against the armed citizen who defended the officer. You know, it's unfortunate he couldn't did it a little sooner and save the officer's life. But, you know, I just read you. Why is that guy out of prison? Right. That's unbelievable. And if he was a felon, right, and he couldn't own a gun, what I'd like to ask the judge is, if he's too dangerous to own a gun, why the hell is he even out of prison then? Right? If you're too dangerous to own a freaking gun, why are you out of prison? You should be freaking locked up in there then. Obviously, you should have been, because he freaking killed a law enforcement officer and widowed his wife and left his child fatherless, which is sickening. That really pisses me off. So anyway, guys, I didn't have the chats up. I see I got one here. Let me get to it here. All right. I'm sorry, you guys. I got on there. Lynette says, society has made it impossible for moms to stay at home. Yeah. I mean, it's even harder with Joe Biden, right? Biden's economy. Hey, man, I made the greatest comeback. The hell you did, dude. People go out shopping. They fill gas. They're paying for shit. They're coming back with a little freaking Easter egg basket full of groceries that they spent $200 to buy, you freaking phony. I mean, most people with common sense can see that Joe Biden's freaking worthless, on top of being one of the biggest gun-grabbing scumbags around. So I'm getting off there. My mom, Paul Odegaard, great show again. Thank you. Thank you very much. Hey, One Shot Cap, good evening, 7-0 Nation. Good evening to you. Thank you for tuning in. And we've got about 7-8 minutes here left. Like I said, guys, I'm going to keep it around an hour here. So I kept my topics, you know, I timed it out pretty good here, actually. So, but I did, you guys got anything you want to add in the comments here? Friday, I'll hit this real quick here. I do have a couple other things on, just like some gear stuff I want to talk about from being out at my buddy Axe's place. But Man Down Sporting Goods, I want to hit this right now. They're at June 1st, grand opening, new location, 206 4th Avenue Northwest, two blocks north of Runnings off of Main Street in Mandan. Brandon's got a big new building going up over there. It's awesome. Brandon's like the premier suppressor guy around this area. And not only that, he's a great American for sponsoring Guns in the 701 and 701 Nation. And I mean that wholeheartedly. Get on over there. Suppressor wait times are at an all-time low, guys. Get over there and get one from Brandon. I'm anxious to see it. I think Clay, we're talking about maybe trying to do a live over there on his grand opening that Saturday morning. We'll see how that goes. I'm, you know, you got to be careful with doing lives with gun stuff, because the same people who let mentally ill felons out of prison to stab and kill police officers think that's a bad idea that you do a live stream from a gun shop. But that's what we're dealing with right now. I hope we can get it done. Clay and I are going to talk about it a little more and see what we can get done. And Deacons, and you know, that'd be awesome. I'd love to do a freaking live from there. So. And, you know, like I said, Mitchell in the morning here. Boys are going to be on tomorrow, 8:40 a.m. Central Time, 7:40 a.m. Mountain. I didn't check. They probably sent me an email, but I'm bad at emails. I'm a phone guy, and I don't check my emails maybe once every – I'm sorry. But the guys are going to have a good show, 20 minutes. You know, it depends on Todd's attitude, but it's usually about 20 minutes on there. 18. Todd likes, you know, he likes guns in the 701. He loves it, and we love Todd. In fact, we had Todd on with Representative Armstrong there. It was great. Todd had fun. We're definitely going to have Todd back on again. I think we're just going to have Toddy Too Hottie and the boys from G&T 701. We'll get a good subject talking about Todd. Todd had fun doing it. But, yeah, and, of course, every Wednesday, Guns in the 701. I was on with Mikey D last night because Vance was ill and Clayton was putting up some fence. at his ranch. So I'm more than happy to join Deke. We had a good time, had a good show. Check that out if you don't want to watch the replay on the live stream and on any of our social media outlets. You can catch the podcast, all of our podcasts. You can always get on iHeart or wherever you get them, but we recommend iHeart because we're on Fridays with Todd and KFYR is an iHeart station. So, you know, other than that, guys, again, I'm gonna hit it one more time here. Go to our sponsors, Double H Guns, Mad Dad Sporting Goods. Get yourself, if you're looking for a gift for the graduate, somebody's birthday, Father's Day is coming up, I guarantee you. Tons of dad's own guns, and you're getting like your younger kids getting to shooting 22. Go in there, get them a gift certificate, and they can go in. It's just like you're going into the candy store when you got a gift card at a gun shop. It is freaking awesome. And both of them places got awesome things. And Clay said too, take your kid's car in for a full service, tranny fluid change, oil change. Axe and the boys will inspect everything on that car. Take your son's car in, your daughter's car. Listen, they might want something a little flashier than that, but man, there's nothing better than having that vehicle. You know that vehicle is going to be reliable and doesn't need an oil change. I love doing that kind of thing. My daughter's got her first car. Got to do that sort of thing, and it is a great gift. It's a heartfelt gift, really, in my opinion. You know, you love your kid and you want your car to go good. You don't want them stranded somewhere. I definitely don't, man. I feel terrible when something like that would happen to my kid. So, you know, and then Bloodline Kinetics, guys, like I said, that guy will laser. He's got a laser. He's a master. Like I said last night, it's like going into the end of the Terminator show with all the machines, and Jake knows how to run all those. He can laser anything on there, your knife, your gun. You got an old gun, anything like that. If you need some work done on your gun, on your barrel or something, I think Jake will do that. Especially if he's doing tons of barrel threadings on too. You get a new gun, doesn't have a threaded barrel, get that thing threaded, and then the next thing you do, over Man Down Sporting Goods, get yourself a suppressor for that, and hey, you're set, you're good to go, you're set to go, and not only that, you helped out a show like ours, Pro North Dakota, Pro Gun. So, well, I'm going to tell you what, guys, I'm going to do one more, I'm going to do our double ad, our last one. You guys got any more comments here that you're looking for, you want to talk about something, I'm up for talking. We'll go about 10 more minutes max if you want, and then I'm going to shut her down for the night. But I do have a couple other things that I'll hit on if you guys don't have something in the chats. I'd rather talk about something you guys want to than listen to me go on. But hang in there. We're going to do a double ad, and we'll be right back.
Ah! Ah! That's a war face. Now let me see your war face. Ah!
Lauer Auto Repair, located at 309 South Washington Street in Bismarck, North Dakota.
Give them a call at 701-258-6308.
The team of mechanics at Lauer Auto can take care of any problem your vehicle is having. And when you do business with Lauer, you can be assured you're doing business with a pro Second Amendment America First repair shop. There are plenty of other auto repair shops in the Bismarck-Mandan area. But why take a chance at patronizing a shop that might not have your beliefs at heart? Make no mistake. Lauer Auto is your pro Second Amendment repair shop. When you talk to the guys at Lauer Auto, don't forget to tell them that you heard they are a sponsor of Guns and the 701 and that you appreciate their support of our pro Second Amendment, pro North Dakota live stream and podcast. That's Lauer Auto Repair, 701-258-6308.
701-258-6308.
Located 309 South Washington Street in Bismarck, North Dakota.
Experience the exhilaration of power in your hands at Bloodline Kinetics. Why Cerakote? Simply, it aids in firearm preservation while also giving your piece a unique look. Barrel threading, NFA laser engraving, bolt handle threading, mount, level, and bore, sight scope chamber rebarreling, and much more. Bloodline Kinetics is meant to reflect a long American lineage in gun ownership who stand for the Second Amendment rights,
Bloodline,
and the science behind gun accuracy.
Kinetics.
To some, it's just a constant
constitutional right that can go away. To us, it's in our American bloodline, and we believe it should stay that way. Here at Bloodline Kinetics, we understand that hunters, sportsmen, women, and gun owners should have a quality firearm. Stop and see us at 2008 Morrison Avenue 2 in Bismarck, North Dakota, 58504, Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Call 701-390-7997. Visit our website, bloodlinekinetics.com.
Hey, you bet. Love it. And Brian Wanner in the comments here says, good show, buddy. Brian, appreciate you. Brian actually sent me a text earlier. He's got some pretty sweet gun holders there strategically placed throughout the Wanner compound there. I like that. I'm going to have to get me some of those, Brian. Waylon Turnus, I said, glad you have a guy that sponsors you and threads barrels. I need a couple threaded. Awesome. Waylon, I'm pretty sure you're at the beginning of the show, but like I said, we got two giveaways coming up. I'm pretty sure the boys are doing one next Wednesday for that barrel threading service at Bloodline Kinetics. And a week after that, in 2 weeks from tonight, unless we have a special episode, which we might, I'm giving one away myself. So hey, if you want to go ahead and go do some business with Jake down there at Bloodline, by all means do, and then maybe put yourself one in the bank here and win one of these. So it's always nice having that extra barrel threading free pass in your pocket, man, because you never know when you're going to win a gun, or you go to the gun shop and, head over to Man Down Sporting Goods or Double H, and you're like, I got to have that. Anyway, yeah, so I was talking about guests coming up. I mentioned it last night if some people weren't watching or didn't. Trying to get Julie Fedorchuk on the show. I was, her campaign manager and I were texting back and forth. Yeah, I'm not saying I'm not endorsing Julie, and I'm not, saying I'm going to vote for her. And matter of fact, in the House, in a primary here, I'm voting for Alex Balazs, to be honest with you. But, Rick and, Clay's been, I think, trying to get Rick back here. I love this. Here, my dad's trying to, hey, Dad, thanks for calling. I appreciate you watching the show here. He doesn't even have a computer. But anyway, yeah, Clay's trying to get on Rick Becker, and welcome Rick Becker to come on anytime. Just as well as Julie Fedorchuk. Alex is welcome back. And like I said, if you missed it yesterday, talk to Congressman Armstrong. He's going to be on with us every quarter now. He said he wants to come on every quarter and talk Second Amendment and guns, and appreciate that. That's awesome. I'm right in my hat. Yeah, I'm definitely on board with Kelly. I was before he came on the show. I was going to support him anyway. But, if he's our governor, there ain't too many governors in America, guys and gals, that actually know their shit about guns and shoot and hunt and are passionate about it, and most other things in North Dakota. The guy's a lifelong North Dakota, and he's passionate about North Dakota, and so are Clay and I, and that's why 701's in the name on both of our guns in the 701. That's our, that's our head, and 701 Nation, that's why, because, we are 701. This is the greatest state in the union as far as I'm concerned. But Josh Patterson, what's up, JD? Hey, Josh, you joined late, buddy. We're just about to check out here. Unless somebody's got something else they want to hit on, I'm gonna click out here. Like I said, I want to keep it around an hour when I do these shows, unless we do a special edition, which might be coming up. And stick around next Wednesday, guys. Don't miss it. If you're looking to get that free barrel threading, Clay and the guys are going to have something in 2 weeks from tonight. I will too. We're giving those away. And I said, Clay and I are going to talk about something Saturday. It's going to be something that's going to get lasered, that we're going to, some we might sell, but most of them, I think we're going to plan on doing like giveaways on them and just trying to get the word out. So I think it's going to be good. There you go, Josh. I'll catch the replay. Appreciate that, Josh. Appreciate it, buddy. Josh is a great supporter of the show, man. He's awesome. A lot of guys are in comments here. But all right, I'm going to click out. Guys, appreciate you joining me tonight. And don't forget tomorrow, Mitchell in the morning, 8:40 a.m. Central, 7:40 a.m. Mountain. Clay and Mikey D are going to be on there. Okay. Oh, yeah, that's right. Lynette reminded me of something here. God dang. See, I always do this when I try. She says, I really like the 8 p.m. summer time frame. Thanks, Lynette. And I think Clayton, I talked to Clayton today, and Clayton said they're thinking they might end up doing that for Guns in the 701 on Wednesdays too. You know, because people, you know, you guys get home, first thing you do, mow the lawn, or you got a project, you want to take care of it. I mean, 7 o'clock comes early. When I was on with Mikey last night, 7 p.m. actually jumped on me pretty quick just from doing my show twice. Starting at 8 p.m. Waylon Turnus is a great show, JD. Thanks, Waylon. You're freaking awesome, buddy. I appreciate you tuning in, man. Waylon's a freaking good dude. Hey, if you got any gun or boat stuff you need, get down there to River City in the parts department. Waylon will hook you up, man. And no, River City doesn't sponsor us. I'm just saying that because Waylon's a good dude. But, yeah, all right. Like I said, Clay and the boys might be going to 8. I'm staying at 8 p.m. Central every other week. And you guys, if you guys only check back now and then, do it a little more often because we might be doing some special episodes with it is political season. Some people don't like that. But if a politician's running for office and they want to come on with us, we're more than happy to have them on to get their beliefs out and what they want to say. I mean, we try and keep it on, you know, 2A specific, but you know, there's other stuff people want to hear about too. So Mike Deakins, especially on how she drives. Oh, all right, guys. Thanks for tuning in again. JD, catch the boys tomorrow, 8:40 a.m. Central. Mitchell in the morning, KFYR 550. We'll see you guys in 2 weeks. Well, I'll see you before then if you go on our social media outlets and check out videos. I'll be doing some videos. I got some in the bank. I got to edit up. But I promise you, you got the first part of the show. I'm going to do the offhand test. And if any of you guys do it, feel free to send us a video and or what your pictures or something. Let us know how you did it. I mean, I'm doing a little off spin there of Backfire when he did like the jug test out to 600. But I think it's a cool idea. You guys, feeling good about hitting that 10-inch target at 200. Let me know how you do. I'd love to hear about it because I love talking shooting. So, all right, guys, have a good weekend. I'll see you on here 2 weeks from tonight. JD, 701 Nation, keep your powder dry and get out there and do some hunting and shooting.